Hello, welcome to Universal Soul Love. This is Detective David Love.
This is Dr. Lana Love.
Welcome to our show.
Today we have our special guest, hypnotist David Quigley with us, who's been a past guest on the show. We've had some great conversations with David. He's also a past life regressionist instructor, and he's the founder of the Alchemy Institute in California. And we're very pleased to have David on our show. We're
very excited.
Very excited.
Also, David is having a Mount Shasta retreat, which we will be going to. So we'll be talking a lot about that, Mount Shasta, and the spiritual world. So welcome, David.
It's such a pleasure to be with you too again. And hello to your student, to your audience.
Yeah, hello from Australia to America. great to have you back, David.
Yes, indeed. So anyway, let's get started. Perhaps you'd like to ask the first question about this whole experience of spiritual power places and their initiatory power.
Spiritual power places, isn't that amazing? And you know what? Both David and I have felt a call to go to Mount Shasta over the past 2 years. We've been trying to get to Mount Shasta and really blown away when you said that it's like a spiritual portal, I guess.
It's a vortex and it's a power station, I guess. Is that right?
Yes,
I don't actually
exactly.
know a lot about Mount Shasta.
In fact, both Raven, my co-leader at Mount Shasta and my spouse, both Raven and I have had fantastic experiences of the spirits and the beings at Mount Shasta. And I would love to share some stories, for starters, about that. You know, when I first moved to California way back in 1975, I came out here to tune into some kind of spiritual destiny. And I remember I summited Mount Shasta and realized when I got to the summit that I was certainly in the presence of one of the most powerful spiritual experiences I had ever had. I sat there at the top of the mountain looking out on what has to be some of the most spectacular views in the world, because Mount Shasta stands as high up above the vast ranges of mountains that surround it as, say, Mount Everest does above the Himalayas. It's a mountain that literally stands some 5 or 6,000 feet above all the high mountains around it. And there is a feeling, a presence that I could feel that was just incredibly powerful. In fact, as I walked down the mountain, a huge thunderstorm merged, and I was bathed in thunder, lightning, and rain climbing down from the mountain, which was rather interesting, in that had that storm arisen just a few hours earlier, I probably would have died on top of the mountain.
So oh my God.
It was a very interesting little connection with the mountain, and I felt the love of the mountain, as many
really?
Have over the years that have visited Mount Shasta. And
yeah,
it became clear very early on that I was meant to lead groups there. But when I was in the year 2010, no, let's see, the year 2000, actually, when I was thinking about going up and doing retreats, I was sitting at a campsite on the mountain, and I asked the question, should I do these retreats? You know, do I have permission from the mountain to do retreats here? Because I'm well aware that she is a living force. And within a very few minutes of stating this prayer, a large doe, a deer, walks out of the woods towards me, stands on my sleeping bag. I'm at a campsite at the time, stands on my sleeping bag, looking down at me, and we have a long conversation. In silence, but the short answer, of course, is yes, come to the mountain. And ever since then, I've had a magical, absolutely magical experience there.
That's amazing. So the mountain actually spoke to you.
I'm sorry?
Did you say that the mountain, like its presence, actually spoke to you?
Yes. I've had that experience so many times, even to the point of, for example, hearing a roll of thunder or hearing a distant avalanche when I'm on a mountain and speaking to that mountain, because I'm a mountaineer, so I do a lot of this mountaineering. But Mount Shasta seems to have a very, very special power. And
wow.
I frankly attribute Mount Shasta to my sweetheart Raven and I coming together. She was interested in the Mount Shasta retreat. She had been a daughter of the mountain for many, many years. had been a part of Charlie Tom's sweat lodge retreats on the mountain for about 20 years, and he is the primary sweat lodge leader on Mount Shasta, in fact, the only one. And so she was deeply connected to the mountain, and when she showed up at Mount Shasta and I first looked at her, I said, oh my gosh, the mountain has brought me this woman.
Oh, how romantic. Sure, that is amazing. And I was reading about Mount Shasta and looking at some photographs, and I believe that it's rather unusual that sort of the mountain unexpectedly rises up out of the earth and is obviously very high. And I believe there's often unusual cloud formations and UFOs seen around the vicinity.
Yeah, people have said that, haven't they? And I believe there's a, didn't we contact a group that does there's been lots of reports of UFOs anyhow.
That's right. And of course, there's the Lemurian connection. I believe there's legends the Lemurians is that right?
The caves of the Lemurians, I always thought was a fantasy, but Raven had experienced journeying into these caves, at least in the spirit world, and I was rather skeptical, but she and I went on an astral journey together down into the depths of the mountain where we saw giant crystals. And I thought they were just very ordinary-looking crystals with little tiny, tiny people in robes walking about on the crystals and among them, and she said, no, that's not tiny people. Those are giant crystals. And she was seeing the same thing. So we have been, and all this time, we weren't even talking to each other. We were traveling in silence through these giant crystal caves. It was an amazing experience for me. Now,
well,
Raven and I have also,
that when we come.
We've been very excited to experience that. And it sounds like it's very consciousness-raising. And I believe that even for the ordinary folk, the vortex does something and allows ordinary folk that perhaps wouldn't necessarily have psychic powers to have some of that experience.
Yeah, it sounds like it's transformational. And
that's
maybe you can
exactly
mention
right.
when
the vibration
well.
Of the mountain is so high that you can't help but feel transformed. You can't help but feel that some power is possessing you and moving you, if you don't resist it, moving you higher in your consciousness. That's why it's a beautiful place for all kinds of ritual initiations.
That's amazing. The Mount Shasta retreat, we'd love to hear about it.
And the dates, of course.
Yes, well, first of all, let me say that this will not be a rugged kind of retreat in the sense that you're not going to be enduring the snow like John Muir, who spent the night in a hot springs in a tiny crater on the summit of the peak as 100-mile-an-hour winds bore down upon him. This is more of it's a beautiful luxury retreat for starters at a beautiful home in the nearby mining community of McLeod, which is now a beautiful resort town. We have a lovely home with many beautiful private and semi-private beds. It's sort of Victorian home in which there's a big kitchen and we all love to cook and eat delicious gourmet meals, organic meals together. And that helps to build a sense of community that I think is so important in any initiatory experience, that we are eating together and share sleeping together, at least in the same house, not the same bed, the same house. And we're all very comfortably accommodated. The house itself has a beautiful living room in which we'll be doing a lot of spiritual journeying, as well as a lot of getting to know each other and doing conflict resolution, which is another thing that one has to do in a group. In order for the group to reach a level of full initiation, it's important for all the members of the group to release any personal gripes or issues that they may have with other members. So some of the work I'm going to be doing is some skilled conflict resolution to help people see what is the big lesson that they need to learn in being triggered by someone else's words or behavior. Many times we're just going to get resentful about people's behavior and just, you know, choose to just be, let it block our own progress. Our training at Mount Shasta, our initiatory journey, cannot afford that. So we do group process to heal and release the resentments, the issues, the traumas that we may accidentally have caused to each other. We'll also be doing a lot of healing of childhood trauma and pain, going back to our original experience of family to clear and release any traumas there with each other so that we, in a sense, play mother and father and rescuer to each other as we go through these journeys of healing our childhoods together. Then,
I want to speak to you about, speak about some of those things that you just mentioned. Because the other thing I want to mention is that I met you several years ago. You're a member of the National Guild of Hypnotists, like I am.
I went through your class. Yes, indeed. I'll never forget that one.
Yeah, that was an amazing experience. Like, I think we met Arthur Wade at the time, and I don't talk about that too much anymore. But
perhaps I should just add that I understand, David Quigley, that apart from being a world-renowned hypnotist, one of your specialty areas is past life regression, and you combine the hypnosis with the past life regression. Is that right?
And you deal with karmic contracts quite a bit.
Exactly. In fact, that's going to be one of the highlights, or in fact, I would say the grand finale of our week at Mount Shasta, is a journey to meet your higher self and receive from your higher self what is your life purpose as defined within your preconception contract.
Which is interesting, because I met my higher self on the way to the convention to your class.
I'm sorry, what's that?
I met my higher self on the way to the convention several years ago when I was going to your class. That was kind of interesting.
Exactly. Right, and everyone in the class will be learning to connect with their higher self and learning the blueprint of their lives. What is their soul's purpose? And in specifically, what is the purpose of this particular phase of your life that all of us are entering now? So it isn't just your whole life purpose, although they will examine that. Also, what is the purpose which has brought you to the junction that all of us have reached, often a crossroads, when we arrive at Mount Shasta? And so that's going to be the grand finale, is to receive from the higher self then the gift. And that gift consists of two things. One of them is a chalice, a symbol of the love and the healing and the compassion we are to give to the world. And the other gift is a sword, which is the symbol of our will and our strength and our discipline in going out to it, and our fearlessness and courage in going out to serve that mission.
Wow, David Quigley, sounds very much like becoming spiritual warriors.
That's exactly right. You got that. Totally, yes.
Wow.
I do talk a lot about the spiritual warrior.
And just before we go further, you talked about the higher self. It's something David and I talk about a lot, but I'm wondering whether you could expand on what you understand as a higher self for listeners that perhaps are not used to that term.
Oh, you mean the term the higher self?
I also call it the higher mind or the greater self or the wise mind, but anyhow, that's that connection.
Those are all good words for it, yes. Now, the question, of course, that comes up oftentimes, well, how does that relate to the concept of God? Okay, and actually the Bible is quite clear on this, and along with a number of other spiritual texts, the Bible's doctrine of the Trinity spells out to a large extent what the ancient alchemists' definition of the higher self was, or what they called the Holy Spirit, or Spiritus Sanctus. You see, in the religious teachings, we can see that there's a God, the Father, God, the creator of the universe, who is sort of the watchmaker of the universe, the creator, the Father. Then there is the Son, who represents both the S-U-N, the Son of Light that brings light to all of us. And then there's this Holy Ghost business. Well, what that represents is that portion of God that is there to guide each one of us on our journey, that higher self within us that designs our life for us and designs our life purpose for us. Our higher self is very different than the God creator of the universe.
That's right.
In fact, our higher self is mainly about our evolution, individually.
That's right.
As much more so than it is about some grand vision, which is why the higher self is often utilized within 12-step programs.
Called
the higher power. In other words, we simply worship that form of God or vision of God that is our helper in walking through the process or crawling through the process of recovery.
It's like an inner guide. Mm.
And the beauty of this is that we don't assign to that higher power any particular religious doctrine. We don't require that higher, we don't require ourselves to swallow some book with all of its beliefs and its religious requirements, which is, of course, one of the, shall I say, one of the more disastrous elements of religion is the doctrinal arrogance and rigidity that is so characteristic of many religions. The use of the higher power or higher self bypasses the whole religious doctrine business in order to help us connect with our own unique and personal, you might call, inner guide or guardian angel. All of these words have been used to describe the higher self. And that the main things we remember about the higher self is not that it is the creator of the universe or the creator of infinite number of laws to be followed or apostates to be punished, but rather that the higher self is all about what you need to do to complete your karmic assignments on this earth, to learn the lessons you need to learn.
That's a really good definition that you are differentiating between the God who looks after the universe and that part
I
of
do.
God that looks after your mission. And of course, that's so important for people to find their own inner strength. So it sounds so exciting.
And that's how I operate. I don't feel that I'm operating with the creator or the universal intelligence most of the time. Most of the time I'm working with the higher power. And I also have that sort of another energy, the feminine consciousness or feminine essence, that's not necessarily my higher power, but often gives me guidance as well.
Well, Carl Jung calls this, of course, the inner mate or the anima or animus. And this is a very important guide in the world of alchemy. And one of the guides we're going to be meeting and bonding with during the Mount Shasta retreat is called the inner mate. The inner mate is the contrasexual love partner in the inner world who is our guide to relationships and also guide to the opposite sex in general. For a man, it's a guide to womanhood. It's a guide to femininity. For many men, Mount Shasta is a kind of inner mate and inner mother figure, and she certainly is for me. And so, yes, it's very important that we pay attention to that element as well, David, and that's why it's a major focus on our Mount Shasta retreat. I want to make sure that I am in touch with my own inner feminine, the goddess within me, along with my own higher self.
Well, that's very interesting that you're saying that the inner mate is of the opposite sex. Of course, David and I have talked a lot about the feminine and the masculine, both outside of us, you know, the ability to find a higher purpose by uniting with our soulmate, but also finding the balance of the feminine and masculine within us. I must say, though, when I think about my higher power, I do think of it as Green Tara, which is a female, so maybe I'm...
I see many aspects of the goddess, different types of personalities, or however you put that. Like, I see Sophia, and I've often seen other types.
Your higher power, though, is the masculine,
that's
isn't
right,
it?
Yes.
So,
yeah, usually the higher power is considered to be of the same sexual orientation, or sometimes appears as a hermaphrodite. Whereas the inner mate or inner god or goddess can often be the opposite sex. Now, what's often interesting is for people who have a homosexual orientation to discover that their inner mate is of the same sex as themselves, but brings the complementary qualities to them, nevertheless, that is missing from their lives. So that, for example, and so this I find working in San Francisco, I get a lot of exposure to some very interesting varieties in that regard, and that's a gender-oriented guide. It's fascinating. One of the beautiful things, of course, is that Mount Shasta is a goddess who embraces a wide variety of different guides, teachers, angels, helpers, you know, everything from the alien beings that descend in spaceships to Mount Shasta, which is legendary, but also Kuan Yin and many, Eagle, many other guides are native to the Mount Shasta area and are there to be called upon. In fact, we do so many beautiful meditations on the mountain itself in which we can literally experience these guides coming to us. And we also have a day in the beautiful town of Mount Shasta, have a few hours in the beautiful town of Mount Shasta to go shopping in the spectacular crystal stores and spirit guide stores to buy souvenirs that you will be taking home with you. Pictures and crystals and gifts and statues that represent these guides whom you have met. And to this day, I cherish so many beautiful statues and pictures that I picked up on my Mount Shasta quest that become permanent altar objects, talismans, if you will, for the glorious initiations we've experienced together on the mountain.
And so how do people, if people want to come to your conference, how do they sign up?
And what are the dates?
My concern is we only allow 10 people in to each Mount Shasta retreat. I am open, however, to setting up another one because I have a feeling that if your family comes, this is going to be full. But I'm very open to setting up further Mount Shasta retreats and would love to have your inquiries be directed, first of all, to our website at alchemyinstitute.com. That's alchemyinstitute.com. And if you're listening to and email us with the notice that you're calling from this radio show, then we will give you a $50 discount on the next Mount Shasta retreat. So just let us know you found out about us on this show, and we will be more than happy to book you, if not into this Mount Shasta retreat, into the next one that we're offering.
David, how often do you have them?
Well, I usually do two a year, one that's in Mount Shasta and another that's here during the New Year's Eve weekend, one that's here in Santa Rosa. It's called the New Year's Empowerment. But I'm really open to doing more than one Mount Shasta retreat.
Wow, wonderful. And of course, at other times, if people want to do sessions with you, personal empowerment, personal issues, past life hypnosis, they can do that by phoning you as well as coming in person.
Here's the phone number to use, 707. Oh, actually, first, 1-800-950-4984. That's 1-800-950-4984. That's actually the best way to register for the Mount Shasta retreat.
Okay, great. I'm going to ask our wonderful producers if we can take a short music break, and then we'll come right back.
All right.
So catch you after the break. Welcome back. This is Dr. Lana Love.
And Detective David Love. Welcome back to Universal Soul Love.
Today we're talking to David Quigley, who's a world-renowned hypnotist and past life regression therapist, as well as...
founder of the Alchemy Institute.
And David has lots of workshops and can be reached individually to talk about a variety of issues to do with the self and past lives and karmic contracts. So welcome back.
Welcome back.
Yes, good to be here.
David, I wanted to introduce the two, as I see, parallel...
existences, the physical and the non-physical?
Well, no, I guess what I'm saying, the two parallel issues, which are so important. One, the ability to know why it is we're here, the ability to perhaps know about your karmic contracts, your past selves. The other major issue is the recognition of the fact that we share our world with a spiritual world, like a parallel universe, and of course, many start awakening and having connections with the spiritual world. And I think it's part of our ascension. And dealing with these two aspects that, of course, can be intertwined. Perhaps you can tell us a little bit about how people become aware of the spiritual world and their own inner purpose.
Oh, that's a great question. Okay, so... let's first of all be aware that many people's experience of what we call connecting to the spirit world, or another word for that, initiation into being a shaman, because that's what it means. To be a shaman is one who travels between this world and the spiritual realm. And this initiation into shamanism, and by the way, other people have other words for it, like the collective unconscious or the spiritual dimension, the bardo state, the states of heaven. To be able to be traveling back and forth between these states and the earth is the definition of what a shaman is and does. And these initiations, throughout many millennia of shamanic work, have often taken place in beautiful wilderness areas where the shaman is isolated from the world, and perhaps with a combination of psychedelic drugs or fasting and food and sleep deprivation, wrestling perhaps with elements of cold or wind or heat. The shaman, oftentimes through deep suffering and loneliness, discovers a doorway into the spirit world. Many shamans, in fact, are crippled with, like I was, for example, crippled with serious illnesses. I was crippled with rheumatoid arthritis and chronic fatigue syndrome, which forced me to descend into the spirit world to find my answers. Now, by the way, I'm
it's
a mountaineer.
It's interesting how the person's
own. I climb the mountains and have fun, but this is one of the ways to go in. But if you don't want to go that really grueling way, like I had to do, I recommend hypnosis.
Because so do I.
Gentle processes of going into trance, especially with a skilled and trained alchemical hypnotist who's trained to do these shamanic journeys, that you can easily go in and, with frankly a lot less sweat, go in there and experience connecting with the spirit world. Sometimes an easy place to start is to make a wish to visit with a friend who has died or passed on, your deceased mother or even your deceased puppy dog. Closing your eyes at night and going into a deeply relaxed state in your own bed or sitting on your couch in the quietness of the evening and focusing your attention upon this being. Open your heart to that being, your deceased friend. This is often a good way to begin your journeys into the spirit world. And oftentimes you'll discover that you feel their presence. You may not hear words clearly or see a clear vision, but it's good enough to start to feel the presence of that person. Another thing that we do in alchemy that we do, of course, in Mount Shasta retreats is we go to power places, places where the veil between the worlds is right. Already very thin. Mm. See, and by going to those places where the veil is thin, places like Sedona, Mount Shasta, Glastonbury Tor. I've done retreats, by the way, at all of these places. And or Machu Picchu, which I haven't been to yet, or the Great Pyramids. These are places where the veil is thin, so this is why traditionally initiations to open this up to our vision of the spirit world have been done in these places.
And David, quickly,
we don't need to go with lengthy fasting and deprivation if we could use altered states of consciousness using hypnosis.
David, would I be right in saying that while some people are born with these gifts of being able to see into this world and see ghosts or
mediumship,
have vision,
and
would I be right in saying that everyone can actually develop these
psychic
powers?
Abilities?
Well, I don't know for sure. I wish I could agree with you. My inclination is to agree with you, but being a scientist, I like to only base my assumption, my conclusions on real evidence. And I don't have any evidence that everyone can have these powers opened up. But what I do notice is that most of the people that I work with in my wizardry training programs, including Mount Shasta, most of them are capable of developing these spiritual powers and abilities.
It's like calling them secret
training. Mm-hmm. And so I would tend to agree with you, even though I can't technically assert that every single person has it. And we can certainly say that most everyone whose brain gets autopsied has a pineal gland in it. So one might therefore assume that they're the
people who are on the path
one.
Find you, I'm sure, that are on a spiritual path are people who are going to come to you for guidance.
And of course, as you say, you know, you refer to your own illnesses, and I know that many people have been through, who have been through traumas, both physical or psychological, that trauma can actually lead them to this. And
right.
quite often these are people that could be very practical and had no interest in spiritual things, and having gone through trauma, that leads them to this. So,
and I guess we're leading into Lana's, of course, Lana and I have in our own lives, you know, have been working with Lana, of course, you work with a lot of people who have had traumatic childhood
experiences. In mental health, absolutely.
But in my own, I've noticed, and we were talking about this, I had an experience this morning where I had a psychic attack, and this happened before, and I often thought, you know, in this case, anyhow, this went on for about half an hour before I realized, and I was very clear, and I was in my intellectual mind, and I was emotionally stable, and I said to Lana, I felt horrible, and this was and it felt like something coming from outside of me, almost sort of attacking me from within, and this was very real, and I sort of finally got clarity on this night, and I stood my ground, and I asked my higher mind to protect me and to guide me, and I asked what I call my collective, I don't like to think of them as lower aspects, but they're my past lives, I believe, my past life personalities that work with me in this life, to stand their ground and fight against whatever this force was that I was being attacked by. And I really don't know what to make of this, but anyhow.
Of course, in mental health and psychology, any issues like that are seen as being your own issues, but I must say, from what I've seen,
schizophrenic or manic or a bipolar breakdown.
Not just that, but you know, perhaps internal issues. Everything is referred to the self with this life, and I must say, there are things beyond that. And what
things that we don't understand.
Yeah,
and I'm an investigator. I've worked in the court system for 20 years, and I look for evidence, proof, and I don't know what to make of this, Lana.
But as you've just said, David, we have two Davids on the show, such a popular name, you felt that this was something external to you, and that's really interesting. And David, quickly, I'm wondering whether you could comment on, and I imagine that you help train people, differentiate between issues, very hurtful, painful issues that are to do with them in this life or past lives versus perhaps the spiritual world, attacking the negative spiritual world, attacking you and being able to resist and build up, perhaps force fields around that.
There's discernment, awareness and intuitive that brings clarity and insight to whether this is coming from a traumatic event in your childhood or a previous life. And in my case, I finally got clarity and said, this doesn't feel like something that's coming from me really per se, but from sort of outside of me trying to get within me.
I imagine you have to though, develop intuition about yourself.
We have a lengthy day of our training devoted to making that distinction clear, because it isn't always clear. A lot of times the pain and trauma of childhood will cause us to internalize a lot of rage and anger and fear that then will feel like some kind of demonic possession, but in fact is a triggering of childhood pain.
And
so
that could
one
be
of the first
me.
Things we do when we can feel this energy of a psychic attack, as you call it, one of the first things is to find a trained hypnotherapist that can help you go in there and confront this figure directly. And ask, are you a part of the client? That's one of the first questions to ask. Are you a part of the client? Secondly, why are you angry at the client?
Mm-hmm.
Now, oftentimes that anger, when it's expressed, it becomes very clear then that this is perhaps coming from childhood. And you hear a voice saying, I hate you because you didn't wash the dishes good enough. Well, I hate you because you were born and you took your mother away from me. This could clearly be the client's father. So, and frankly, let's be honest, the father energy could be a pretty dangerous possessing entity. I'm not going to quarrel about that at all. But it is the father, and what we can then do is go back and do a rescue mission to rescue the child from this father, and oftentimes replacing that father with a new loving father in the inner world helps us to seal protection around the auric field, so that the original father and his negativity can be readily countered anytime it emerges with the strength and the vigilance of the new father energy. So that's one way to deal with these kind of beings. But so sometimes we discover that it's just a loose astral entity, maybe some demonic force that we picked up when visiting a haunted house somewhere.
I really don't know. I don't have the answer in this case, but we're exploring it.
Yeah, it is so complicated. I must say I'm humbled as a mental health practitioner. It's certainly not something we've been taught, but I've had to open my mind. And as they say, they say that the world that the psychotic, the sea that the psychotic drowns in, is the same sea that the spiritual guru happily,
or mystic. Sorry, I'm not calling myself a guru.
Yeah, so true.
The mystic happily, happily swims in other words, while someone may have mental illness, it's very possible for these negative spirits and entities to then enter. And, of course, as a spiritual mystic or spiritual warrior, you would have the skills to traverse these universes without being attacked. Is that right?
I like those words, mystic or spiritual warrior.
Yes, exactly. Well, one of the jobs of a spiritual warrior is to not only detect these beings very, very carefully, but also learn ways of performing exorcism or depossession when it's needed. And that's one of the things we'll be learning and practicing in Mount Shasta if we need to, and sometimes we do, because the mountain does draw some pretty intense negative energy as well. We'll be learning how to perform a depossession. Fortunately, you don't have to call a Catholic priest for it. There are some other just as easy to follow Native American proceedings. But the point is we need to learn, first of all, to distinguish what is just a part of the client's internal trauma system, their PTSD disorder acting out, and how to perform a rescue mission and clear that, versus, in other words, how to get rid of those negative parental voices. And secondly, to find out that these truly are, you might call loose astral entities or even demonic beings, and then how to eliminate those. One of the problems, David, with this is you really need to find a skilled expert in the field. It's very difficult to do this by yourself. I noticed you were able to get rid of this after 30 minutes, but let's face it, you're pretty evolved. You've done a lot of work on yourself.
Tough. Yeah,
but you were able to shed this thing in 30 minutes, and you're probably thinking the whole time, why is it taking so long? Because without a skilled external helper, it's often very difficult to get rid of them at all.
No, so I had an experience last week that that hit me so hard. It was one of the worst experiences I've ever had. And I had the aftershocks. I felt like I was in a train wreck, and it took me 2 hours to shake it off. So
absolutely possible to build up resilience to that. Mm. And what about connection in the few minutes we have left? Connection with higher beings, the light beings. Is that, I'm imagining that there might be.
Well, that's probably what we'll be doing most of up in Mount Shasta, is connecting to the higher, the divine beings.
Wonderful.
Because in addition to your own higher self, there are many guides and healers and spirits and guardian angels, including the mother of Mount Shasta herself, which we'll be contacting during our journey, that are very powerful, you might say, guardians of the earth, that we will be working with along with our own higher selves.
Mm.
And so and of course, once we can establish that connection, we also can find a spirit guide whose specific job includes protecting us when we travel to the spirit world from these kind of psychic attacks. And it's important that this involves the word guardian angel actually means, to a certain extent, guarding us from this kind of spiritual attack. And also helping us to distinguish who are the helpful voices and helping us go toward those voices and distinguishing those from the voices of what I call possessing entities or the demonic realms. And so a guardian angel helps us to make those distinctions and helps us to stay free of the contaminations of that dark world. So one name we can call this is the guardian angel. Another name for this is the inner warrior, the spiritual warrior, as we were talking about earlier. That's another name for that same guide. that helps us.
So interesting, so complex.
My favorite topic.
Opens up a gateway to a whole new world, and of course, connects to your own inner self and inner journey. And we've run out of time now, but once again, David, quickly, your website at thealchemyinstitute.com.
That's right, alchemyinstitute.com is our website. Alchemy
Fantastic.
Being the ancient science of lead into gold, ALCHEMY.
And wonderful to have you on the show.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
You don't
we'll
have
get
your computers. The phone
minutes.
Number is 1-800-950-4984.
950-4984. Okay, great.
Hello?
Well, it looks like... Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, great. Okay. Well, it's been a pleasure being on the show. I hope we get to talk to you real soon.
Yeah, excellent. Thanks.
We'll see you in Mount Shasta.
Yeah, thank you so
see you
much
in Mount
for coming
Shasta.
To the show,
Absolutely. All righty. Oh, and by the way, we do need to know as soon as possible. Remember, I'm trying to hold your spaces open. I don't
Absolutely.
Have, like, how long
we'll
I
will talk to
I
you
to keep open
just after
week,
this
though,
about
okay?
that. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. And that's goodbye from Universal Solar.
We'll see you next time.